من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين A person, human being, who cannot recognize who his friends are and who his enemy is doomed for failure and destruction. A person who cannot differentiate between a friend and an enemy, and then does not abandon the enemy and holds fast and with strength to his friend, that person probably will also end up in destruction. Because if you do not act upon something which you know, it is as you don't know it. There is one person who does not know that one should not touch a live electrical wire. And there is another person who knows that it is dangerous. If both of them touch the wire, there will be no difference. In what happens to them, the knowledge of the person who knows it is dangerous will not save him, because the time to save is over now. So a person first should try to recognize his friends and enemies, and then try to avoid the friendship, the company of enemies, and act upon the guidance and stay in the company of his friends. I had a phone call today from someone that there is a Muslim brother lying dead in the hospital, but there is no one to take his body to give ghusl and to offer funeral prayer and to bury. This person was a Muslim. This person, young man, had family. He had family here. He had friends here, but he stayed in bad company. So all those friends who used to do whatever they desired, wrong or right, and he stayed with them, now no one amongst them can spend few hundred pounds to bury him. They all have abandoned him. His friends, his girlfriends. And they are indulged and busy in their own ways. And he is lying dead from 1 week there. His uncle, his family are not willing to pay for him, his grave. That is why he is lying there. Now this is not a story or happened 10 years ago. I am talking about this day, today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believer should ponder over heavens and earth and alternation of day and night. And that does not mean only that when day comes day, say that it's day and night is night, but it means what happens during the day and what happens during the night as well. And what happens in the universe as well. Then there will be endless lessons to be learned for the people who will use their intellect. Like someone explains to us, says to us, the brother says to me, look, these people who you are wandering around with, you are roaming around with, they are not your friends. In fact, they are your enemies. Although they might accompany you to the disco or to the club or to the cinema or to other unlawful illicit activities declared in the Sharia, and your nafs might temporarily enjoy. There is temporal enjoyment in the sin, because if that was not there, then no one would commit the sin. And that is the test. But then it's agony and pain forever if one does not repent. These friends who are not righteous, they are evil. If you recognize their reality, like the awliya Allah and Salihin do, or they have taught us, you would not befriend them. You would befriend them, but to make them and to invite them towards good, not to accompany and follow them in their ways. They are after their passions and their hawa and their desires, however they are fulfilled. If they have a sexual desire, if you are their friend, they will not spare your wife if they have the opportunity. Because they are sons of desires, sons of shaitan and hawa. If they are not the slaves, servants of Allah and the slaves and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have not abandoned evil and they are after only their desire, then they are not bothered where their desire is fulfilled. If they have chance, they will not spare your sister. You may see it now as well when they are with you. Their eyes does not have purity in them. That is, there's animalistic tendency to just to fulfill desire. If they know they can earn lot of money by selling you, they will sell you. If they know they can earn lot of money without you knowing, defrauding you, they will do that. So who is more fool than that person? As I said, that who does not know who his friend is an enemy. Understand these people jumping and roaming around with you, and the company of hell, these are not your friends. They are more like sweet poison. Temporarily it looks, seems, tastes sweet and delicious. But the effect of it, when it destroys and disintegrates your body, you will have to suffer. And a good friend and a righteous friend, that is a good friend. A servant of Allah, a ghulam and slave of followers of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is Muhammadi. That person might, his advice, his company might seem bitter. But his advice, his friendship is like medicine. Is like some medicine syrup. It might not taste good. A tablet might not taste good. But when you take it, it will cure you. So a wise person always looks at what is the long-term benefit. Short-term benefit is like someone is thirsty and drinks a cup full of delicious drink, but it's poisonous, just to quench the temporal thirst and taste. And then forever your life is finished. That is how sins and obedience of shaitan is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam, La Ta'budu Shaitan. O son of Adam, you are son of Adam, do not be a son of shaitan. Do not be son of a nafs, son of desire. You are Bani Adam, son of Adam, who was such honorable that angels bow down to him. And whoever did not respect him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed that creation. Shaitan. So you also can reach the honor and glory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Al-akhillau yawma aizim ba'duhum li ba'din aduv. Here, yes, you have friends. When you want to do something lawful, unlawful, they might offer their services to you. But here they turn into enemies sometimes, most of the time, due to greed. And as I said, that now those friends, where are they, that their friend is lying for a few hundred pounds in the hospital to be buried? Those uncles and cousins are there, his cousins are there, here, uncle is there. Everyone will abandon you. People give the example that they say that it is ideal, the love of mothers for the child. But I say it is not ideal. Ideal is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the servant. Because I have seen and heard mothers leaving their babies in bin liners and bins. And whatever the mother, motherly love and compassion she has is also restored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ideal, that is not ideal. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His love which is want free, who does not want anything from you. If you do good deed, it is you after all who benefit, not him. If you do righteous acts, it is you who will enjoy in paradise and eternal life, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is now as he was, and he will be as forever he is now. There is no change in states, in his personality, which we can liken to any creation. He is above the reach of our thoughts and the grasp of our mind and the time and space which we know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if righteous people who make righteous friends, pious, let aside this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on day of judgment when يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, that when a person will run away from brother, a brother will run away from brother, mother will run away from the child, the son, son will run away from mother, they would not like to even meet each other. It will be such a state on the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَدُوٌّ, all friendship will turn into animosity. All friendship here or definitely in the akhirat is turning into enemy, animosity. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, but the friendship of muttaqeen will survive and flourish there on the day. When mother will leave the son, father will leave you, cousins will leave you, friends will leave you, worldly friends. But there, the friendship of a wali, or a righteous man, a person who you love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is the muttaqeen, will also be friend there, and they will help each other there, by the will of, and by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Quran, what Quran says, أَلَخِلَّهُ يَوْمَ عَدِمْ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدِ النَّدُوبْ, each other's enemy, everything will become. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person who loves the other person for the sake of Allah, meaning that a righteous person is loved for his righteousness and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these two people will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is great reward and glory if you make the right friends. And if you make the wrong choice, then you are in mind and might be like this brother who has died. So before they leave you, you should leave all shaitanic relations and contact from your heart. So be wise and think that these people are after your property. They are themselves hungry, like dogs, to fulfill their desires of wealth and fame and name. And if they can do it by using you, they will do it. So beware of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not make these people friends, shaitanic people. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, he is your open enemy, shaitan and his followers. So if they repent, alhamdulillah, they are better than you. So So these people, imagine, this would not be, when they will can get hands on property, they will not spare it. When they can get hand on your wife, they will not spare. On your sister, on your house, they are not. So, yes, keep contact with them as much as necessity requires. And befriend good people. And righteous people. And find them, you will find them. Search them, you will find. A thief, no matter travels from Asia to here, in few days he'll find a thief in hide for his company. Yes? That's true. Similarly, what is it, the righteous person? Or who is not righteous, but he wants to be company of righteous. He travels from Bangladesh or India to here. If he searches, he will find as well very soon. A gambler finds a gambler very soon, no matter which city he goes to. So there are evil people and good people everywhere. I mentioned to you last time the Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani Rahmatullah Alayhi, a friend of Allah. The best friendship is the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Wali Allah, Allah's friend. Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. To be a friend of your neighbor, to be a friend of your countrymen, to be a friend of a governor, to be a friend of a rich man. Put all friendship on one side and to be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for his friends, who really becomes his friend. So he has created a buffer zone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that who will rule over shaitan and shaitanic desire, he will reach my friend. Friendship. Otherwise, everyone will claim, I am a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the friend of Allah does not sleep at the time of prayers. A friend of Allah will not look where his friend has said, do not look. A friend of Allah does not love his enemies. A friend likes the company of the friend. So that is why Holy Allah and Salihin, they build relationship and they keep in contact with society and people and their family, but the time they like most is when they spend alone with their friend. When there's only them and only them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they become in such a state and station that even they are walking in the market, they are still with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are as they are sitting alone. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi was saying once that there are such people that who stay with people, their bodies are here, their hearts are on the heaven. And people said, how is it possible that a person who lives with people and is talking and he is as he is alone at that time? He will say, I just wait a few minutes, I'll show you. Soon after they saw Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, the student and disciple of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi was coming. Coming from the direction of market, of a very busy market, people were here and there and said, and Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi was sitting with his other disciples and students and other people who come for advice, etc. And for good company. Because good company, Prophet ﷺ said, is like the shop of perfume and fragrance. Fragrance. That if the person does not buy the fragrance, the smell, the nice smell of the fragrance cannot be missed. At least you will know. Maybe you like the smell and you like to come again. Maybe you like it so much, you like to buy it. So necessarily, it does not mean the person will immediately act upon everything he comes in good company. But once he tastes that taste, then maybe he would like to buy that fragrance. Meaning that he would like to act upon the commandment of Allah and His Messenger. Good company is good company. So people were sitting, Hazrat Shibli was coming. And Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, when he sat, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi asked him, Shibli, have you seen any person on the way? He said, no. And he was coming to hundreds and hundreds of people. And then all of them were looking astonishedly. Hazrat Junaid said, that is what I said to you. Yes, there are people. Worldly people can get that state. I am not saying about friends. People, when they have a certain, a very severe kind of affliction, a problem, or thinking deeply, they are sitting with you, and you are speaking, and they say, we have not heard, say it again. Their eyes are here. Their ears are here, but they do not. A person thinking so much deeply about his problem or something, so consciously, a person comes and leaves the room and he does not know. I mean, now that is regarding worldly matters. Now what to say a person who is confounded and comprehended and is conscious about the being above which there is no being. So that is the best of friendship is the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the righteous, His friends. Befriending His friend is also befriending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making friends with His friends is also as you are making friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is only for Allah's sake you will befriend, not for money, not for any other thing, but for Allah Jalla Majdu. So Imam Abdul Wahhab Shairani Rahmahullah stayed in company of many hundreds of righteous people and scholars, Saliheen. Amongst them he met, as I mentioned to you, 100 mashayikh in this who were masters of spiritual purification and awliya Allah and friends of Allah. And he benefited from 100 of them, one after the other. Amongst them, the most favorite of him is, as I said, Hazrat Sayyidi Ali Khawas, rahmatullah alayhi, who was also ummi, unlettered, meaning that he did not go into madrasa or was not a scholar, but he was bestowed, gifted knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And Imam Abdul Wahhab was a scholar of esoteric and exoteric, the normal knowledge which prevailed in the world, and he went to certain, to education. And he was a spiritual man as well. But he became his disciple, although his sheikh never went to madrasa. So he had knowledge. Like Sheikh Abdul Aziz Dubari rahmatullah is also same. Scholars would come and ask, and their question or they will be answered. So he said that I stayed in these 100 friends of Allah, 100 awliya Allah, and they took certain covenants and promises that you should do this, you should do this. I said, for example, he went to one, he said, Ya Wali Allah, O Ya Sayyidi, O my Master, I want to come closer, please advise me. Sometimes they would advise, sometimes they would take a strong promise. Are you truthful in your want? Yes. Then give your hand and promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will do this. Now he had written all his almost 400 promises in the book, as I said. So people can benefit until the day of judgment. And also they can know that what is the nature of the friend of Allah. They can look into their mind, how they think, or how they teach, or what type of things they instruct. so that people cannot be misguided, led astray by pseudo, like people who take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are shaitanic people in the form of good people. So they cannot deceive you. Amongst them, I mentioned to you the part of the first ahad, the first promise or covenant. They are heavenly covenants. They take you, they make you, and turn you into the inhabitants of heaven. They are heavenly covenants. So first amongst them was, I already have listened, and if someone has missed, they should listen to the previous cassette, that a person should consider that every other Muslim is better than him in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in at least his own consideration. Every person he sits with, he is better. So you have heard some of the arguments, but if a person has so many defects in him, you know, a person is committing zina, adultery and drinking, and how can I say that he is better than me? We've answered all of them, or some of them. If a person is full of defects, and you are full of good things, how can you then say that the other person is good? We've also dealt with that. So if someone wants those question-answer type of points, they can refer to the previous cases. Today we are just carrying on. The Shaykh says, Phir ay Aziz, O my beloved, look how the Awliya Allah, they address people. Their love for the creation is not for your betterment. Their love for the creation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fault. They would never like to come and give a speech, but they come for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two people. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. How many times he had said that if it was not by the command of Allah, I would have left you, O people of Baghdad. You are not deserving what you are hearing or the company. So the relationship which they have with creation is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hear sarcastic remarks, people throw stones at them, people ridicule them, like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Why they had to go to the creation? They were already Anbiya, they had very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were sent for the better of humanity, and they followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And similarly, the awliya Allah, they follow their footsteps, so they also have interact with creation for the pleasure of Allah and for the betterment and welfare of the people of hereafter. So he says, Phir ay Aziz, O my beloved. And when they say, they mean, it is not like each other people we meet, very nice to meet you, it's been a pleasure of meeting. When a man, a friend of Allah speaks, he speaks with the tongue of heart. His tongue of heart speaks before the tongue of flesh. So farmaya ke, ay Aziz, O my beloved, tum par ye baat chupi na rehni chahiye. This matter should not be hidden from you. Ke ye ahad, this covenant, that to think and believe that everyone is better than you, Muslim, bad or good, sinner or righteous, that you are the inferior. And why one should consider? We've mentioned some of the reasons. We say that this ahad, this covenant, is kitab ke tamam ahud par amal karne ke liye dahliz hai. Or other 375 or 400 covenants we have mentioned, he says that this ahad, this particular covenant, is a door to all of them. All of other righteous covenants and righteous actions, and these sections which will be discussed, the virtues. Ye dahliz hai, this is like a doorstep to all other. پس جو کوئی اس دہلیز سے داخل نہ ہوگا وہ اس کتاب کے عہود کے ساتھ خوگر ہونے کی بو بھی نہ سون سکے گا. Whoever will not enter through this door, he says, this is a mahal, this is a palace of the friendship of Allah. And there is only one door to enter it. All other doors come after, all other rooms come after, all other gardens come after. And this door is this ahd and this covenant that you should not consider yourself better than others. Not by word, but by mind and heart. Words, many people, I can say, you are better than me. And if my heart is not there, then it is worse than even actually becoming arrogant. Because this is hypocritical arrogance. This is more serious. So, farmaya ke, whoever will not enter this door, وہ اس کتاب کے عہود, he will not even smell fragrance of the other virtues and covenants which we have mentioned. He should not expect even to let aside benefit, but to smell the fragrance of the other righteous action which we will be mentioning further on. So imagine the how important it is. Imagine how important it is. Because this is the beginning of all the fitna. All problem comes when a person considers himself better than the other. Then there comes demands. Then there becomes complaints. And then there become all kinds of other evil traits after them. This was in Shaitan as well. He considered himself better than another creation, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. But imagine he has passed all other virtues. He thought he has attained all other virtues and reached the heavens. But like Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani says, that a person who will not enter this door, if he thinks that he has reached virtue, he has reached goodness, it is an illusion. When the time will come, you will know that you have not even entered it. So Shaitan, what happened to him? As he has not entered the virtuous world. Because he has not entered through this door. اس لیے کہ جو شخص اپنے نفس کو لوگوں سے زیادہ یا ان کے برابر سمجھے گا وہ ان کی مدد اور فیض باطنی سے محروم رہے گا. He says, one of the reason why any person will not benefit from other our instructions and covenants until he accepts and acts upon this covenant. Because a person who will even consider equal, himself equal to others, he will not get the faiz, the spiritual blessing, or help from others. He will be deprived. Now further on, the Hazrat Imam Abdul Wahhab gives us marvelous example to explain this. He says, اس لیے کہ فیضانِ باطنی پانی کے مانند ہے, because the spiritual faiz, the blessings and the good wishes which person can get from the awliya Allah and righteous and from Muslims, one benefits from their hearts and their prayers. He says that it is the similitude of all these spiritual ni'mat is like water. Is like water. اور پانی نیچے کی جانب پست مقامات ہی میں چلا کرتا ہے. And water always flows downwards. And water always flows downwards. یہ اوپر نہیں جاتا. So he says the faiz, the spiritual blessing and all spiritual attainments which person can benefit from the other people, righteous people, normal human Muslims, righteous awliya Allah, salihin, even the great awliya Allah, he says that the faiz, the spiritual blessing and ni'mats are like water, and water always flows downward. Pani hamesha niche aata hai. Past maqamat mein chala karta hai. Buland maqam aage taraf nahi chadta. It does not flow upwards. Aur barabar jagah mein thehra rehta hai. If the ground is even, the water is still. So he says that if you even consider yourself equal to others, pas agar aapne aap ko kisi ke barabar bhi samjhoge, if you will consider yourself equal, not بیٹر ایکول ٹو ادر، تو اس کا فیض بھی ٹھہرا رہے گا، تم تک نہ پہنچ سکے گا. ہز فیض ول آلسو بی اسٹل، اٹ ول ناٹ بی پورڈ ان ٹو یور ہارٹ اینڈ اسپرٹ. دیکھیں نا، اٹ ول اف اٹس ایون، وہ اس کا فیض، یو آر سٹنگ ود اے پرسن میڈ بی اے بگ ولی آف اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ، بٹ یو تھنک یو آر ایکول ٹو ہم. Maa Abdul Wahab is saying, like water, it will just stay there. No matter you stay 10 years in his company. Woh wahi rahega. And let aside, if you consider yourself better, and you are arrogant and proud of something you've done, or how you look, or something you've achieved, forget about benefiting from other people and righteousness. Isliye mutakabbar ko kisi se bhi fayaz nahi pahunchta. He says that is why a proud and arrogant person never receives the faiz from anyone. He always is deprived because his ground is upwards. Wo niche to hota nahi, he considers himself upwards and a higher stage, and the water comes towards down. So he has changed his, there is an imbalance in his spiritual trait. So shaitan did not even benefit from the company of angels. He did not benefit while staying in paradise, company of hoors and other creation, and always in righteous company, but he did not benefit from them. The fares of angels did not flow into him because he considered himself better. And to Adam alayhi salam also. So if he considered himself better, all the fares actually stayed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also blessing flow and towards Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and he lost whatever he had already even. So faiz pani ki tarah hai, isliye mutakabbir ko kisi se bhi faiz nahi. So a mutakabbir, a person who does takabbur and his arrogant, meaning that he considers himself better and others inferior to him, he will not benefit from anyone. Even he sits in the company of a nabi, he will not benefit. And those people who were on these lines, then Abu Jahl and all these people, because of takabbur, they did not benefit from the fountain of all nabuwa, where all nabuwa begins, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fountain of faiz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the mercy of universe. And Abu Jahl and people did not benefit because their matters were upside down. So the faiz of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will flow, but because they have blocked themselves, they considered themselves equal. Who is Muhammad? He is also like us. And they stayed like that. So they did not benefit. Wo is martabe wala, yani sahibe tawazo. And then he says, on the contrary, the person, humble person, true, sincere, humble person who consider himself inferior, that I am nothing, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed others with such spiritual blessing, I do not have them. Or how my end is going to become? Will I die even a Muslim or not? A sinner or righteous? So he sees blessings, but he considers that they are all, the judgment is going to be made on the day of judgment, not now. So who is to judge now? I am better than the other is not better. So he says further on that mutawaze, a person, humble person, har paas baithne wale se faiz le leta hai. He receives and attains faiz from everyone he sits with. Hum dekhe, kitni badi barkat hai. That a humble person, with every person he sits, righteous or normal Muslim, whatever, if there is good in the other person, some good in the other person, it will flow to him immediately. Uska faiz pahunch jayega. Iski taraf faiz khud ba khud beh ke chale aate hai. The faiz and the spiritual blessing automatically flow to him. Even the other person does not want, still it will flow, because the water flows downwards. جو آجز اور ہمبل رہے گا اسی کی طرف فیض آنا ہوگا. دا the person who is sitting with you, he wants to give you or not. If you are show humbleness, and if you consider him better, the fayz is going to flow to you. وہ آئے گا یا آئے گا آپ کی طرف. دوسرا چاہے یا نہ چاہے, other wants or not want, you will benefit from him even. بس اس کے مشائخ کا کوئی شمار نہیں کیا جاتا. He said that no one can count his sheikhs and teachers because everyone he sits with, he benefits from. اس کو فیض ہی پہنچتا رہتا ہے. And when he accumulates drop by drop, no matter a Muslim is in the last state of sinfulness, still he has a drop of goodness. اس میں ایمان ہے. It's twinkling, like twinkling star. تو یہ بیٹھے گا, اس کو اس سے بھی اپنے آپ کو کم تب سے, he will consider himself that little bit of twinkle or that is also flow to him. He will benefit him because he is showing humbleness as another person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him by this. That aside, if he sits with a wali, a righteous person or a good person who has practiced goodness, then definitely he is going to benefit. By the condition is that he is not artificially humble. He is truly humble. Hazrat Sayyidi Shaykh Abdul Aziz Deirini Rahmatullah Alayhi was also a great saint, passed before Imam Abdul Wahab Shahrani. Someone asked him, kisi ne unke mashayikh e tariq ki babat sawal kiya, asked him about his shaykhs of tariq, his spiritual shaykhs of spiritual purification and tasawwuf, his mashayikh and teachers of tasawwuf. Who are they? How are many of them? کہ وہ کس قدر ہیں. آپ نے فرمایا کہ میں اپنے مشائخ کے شمار نہیں کر سکتا. I cannot count my شیخ, my people who benefited me spiritually, my teachers, I cannot count them. آپ نے فرمایا کہ میں اپنے مشائخ کے شمار نہیں, کیونکہ میں ہر شخص سے جس کے پاس بھی بیٹھا ہوں فائدہ حاصل کر لیتا ہوں. Because every person who I sat with, I benefited from him. No matter he knew or not. He knew or not. He said, I benefited. Aapne ye sher padha. Then he recited a couplet, a poetry. Jis kisi se bhi mujhe ilm o adab ho hasil hai, wohi shaykh mera aur imam-e-kamil. So whoever I receive benefit from, he is my shaykh. Now this is Shaykh of Sohba, Shaykh of Barqat he's talking about, not the Shaykh of Tarbiyah generally. But he benefited. So Imam Abdul Wahab explains this, and then he says further on, Pas ay Aziz, O my beloved, I say again to you, Aapne nafs ko har paas baithne wale musliman se kam tar samaj. Consider your nafs to be lowly and inferior to everyone who you sit with or who sits with you. تاکہ تو اہل توازوں میں سے ہو جائے. So that you become a person of humbleness. You become amongst those people who are considered an assembly of humbles. اس کے بعد حق تعالی شانہو تجھ کو تیرے ہم سروں پر بلندی. Then Allah will raise your status amongst all creation. Then you will show humbleness, Allah will raise your status. کیونکہ حدیث صحیح میں ہے, ان صحیح حدیث, من تواضع للہ رفعہ اللہ, whoever will show humbleness for Allah, meaning truly sincere, Allah will raise him definitely. بس اگر تو اپنے آپ کو اپنے بھائیوں سے بڑا سمجھے گا, ان کا ماتحت ہو جائے گا, اور اگر دل سے تو ان کو اپنے سے بڑا سمجھے گا تو ان سے بلند ہو جائے گا. If you will consider your brothers, people who live with you, better than you, yours will be raised. حق تعالی شانہ نے ہم کو اس واسطے اپنا بندہ نہیں بنایا. Allah has not made us a servant کہ ہم اپنے آپ کو کسی مخلوق سے افضل سمجھا کریں. That we consider ourselves better than another creation, another people. Has Allah created for this reason? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for this reason? That we begin to compare ourselves with other creation? And consider ourselves better, meaning other human beings, other Muslims, and boast about with someone something which we have. Has Allah created us for this? No, this is takabbur and kibr. ہم نے آپ کے اپنے آپ کو کسی مخلوق سے افضل سمجھے, البتہ بجہت شکر ٹو پے گریٹیٹیوڈ ٹو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی وہ سم ٹائم اے پرسن پیز گریٹیٹیوڈ اینڈ ہی مینشنز ہز بلیسنگ دیٹ اللہ ہیز بلیسڈ می ود دس فزیکل بلیسنگ اور مٹیریلسٹک بلیسنگ اور تھرو اسپرچل بلیسنگ دین دیٹ از الاؤڈ. But ulama says, the awliya says that this type of telling your spiritual blessings and to other people as a name of blessing suits the person who is towards end of the tariq, who has been purified, not in the beginning. Because the person will end up boasting and saying always, I am just showing the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And behind and deep down will be his own nafs actually becoming a giant. And awliyaullah, if they have said something like this, they have done it because of that, by the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for their own selves. For example, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has superiority over the awliyaullah of the time. He was a ghost and he was spiritually instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that type of thing, if they are to show the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, that you should proclaim the ni'mat of your Rabbi, if Allah has given you a blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see the effects of that blessing on you as well. We end by saying few words and the hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل الجنة, that person will not enter paradise. Who will have an atom weight arrogance and kibr and greatness, considering himself greatness, in his heart over his Muslim brother, ala akhihil Muslim, not over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can become arrogant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expecting from Muslim, because the person accepts he is the Lord, the Prophet sallam. So where is the arrogance? His interaction with your people like yourself, their arrogance will show, their humbleness or true humbleness or true arrogance will show, because you are doing business and dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with people. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will is that you show humbleness and servitude, then you are. Some people, you see, in their, for example, in classroom, if a teacher punishes, a student will say to the teacher, if you punish me in front of students, they feel more disgraced. And if they are given more severe punishment alone, they will not feel as much. Because the competition is with like-minded, like-level, similar-level people who are living with you at your times. And that is really, because your true self is going to come out now when you interact with them. Otherwise, I go towards you and I respect you, meet you after 1 month or 1 year, I am humble. But there is nothing to be arrogant and there is nothing to have dispute amongst you, because you only meet me, or I only meet you once in a while or lifetime or whatever. So the real personality of yours will come out, interacting with your neighbor, interacting with your brothers, interacting with your immediate family. And if they treat you ill, the solution and why it happens, inshallah, we'll discuss later on as well. Today I finished here, but this first ahad is still continuing. To koshish kare, a person should try, we can promise, because we will then turn back on a promise, but a person should at least try to, if you want to benefit, you want to receive the faiz from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the righteous people, from awliyaullah, saliheen and other Muslims as well, then remember the example of Shaykh Ma'abdul Wahhab give of water, دا فیض باطنی کی مثال پانی کی طرح ہے، فل فلو ڈاؤن ورڈ اپ ورڈ نہیں جائے گا یہ کبھی بھی. اینی کوشچن اینی ون وانٹس ٹو آسک اور کامنٹ؟ By the way, humbleness does not mean that you do not ask any question. You can ask if you want. It is not against that at all. But yes, it can be against humbleness if a person asks for the sake of argument or other things or just causing disruption. Then obviously, the underlying reason will be that the person considers himself superior to the other, and he is trying. So underlying, always there is, most of the evil and sins, the underlying reason is kibar, is a person considers other people inferior to himself. That is why he tries to harm them and compete with them. And yes, brother. Can you speak a little bit loudly, please, if you don't mind? And قریب آ جائیں تھوڑا. Artificial humbleness is of two types. One is when in the heart you do not have, or you do not really consider yourself inferior, or you do not consider other person is better than you. But when you meet him or say that the other person says, you say to me that no, that you are better than me, and I also just respond or say no, I am most the most sinful servant of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and you are better than me. I am not equal to dog, then etc. etc. So, but it can be true as well, like Oli Allah, when they speak, they do speak from heart. But it will become artificial if in the heart is not that. And like I mentioned to you before, that one of these person was saying like this, and the other person said, yes, you truly are like dogs. Immediately the reaction of that person changed, and his face turned red, said, how dare you call me? Yeah, I just repeated what you were saying. So that type of humbleness is artificial. And the second type of artificial tawazu is when you consider yourself, let's say, a pious or righteous or a certain stage, etc., really, and you say that, although I possess this stage, I am higher, but I should now move down few steps just to show humbleness. Meaning spiritually you are saying, in the heart you are meeting that person humbly, but in the heart you have, I do possess high stage, but it's only I coming down for him. This true means that really you consider yourself at higher stage. That's why you came down. If you consider yourself on the ground, how will you say that you were on the roof and you have come down? Imagine a person who is sitting in the roof, or in the first floor, or second floor, and the other person comes and he says, although I am, but I should go and meet him. And you say, I'm coming down the steps and meet him. And this shows that you believed yourself to possess a certain status, and you have come down. If you feel you're coming down, and if a person is already in the ground floor, he is not going to feel I am coming from upwards or I am coming from downwards or whatever. He is not going to consider that. So these are major two types of where hypocritical or artificial humbleness can this kind of person. Kind of thing. But yes, with this I will also say that the true humbleness comes also through normally this artificial humbleness. A person's first time in the beginning, he is instructed, when people are instructed to attain this trait of tawazu, humbleness, they are instructed even artificially do it. Because many people even do not, it's hard for them even artificially to even do it. So for them at least they start with this, and gradually then inshallah they try and they get true humbleness. Yes.
As you know, unity in Islam between Muslim brothers of one another is a very important fact within the deen. So unity with each other. But supposing you have a fellow Muslim brother who you kept good friendship with from when you first met each other.
Right.
And he's a very good practicing brother. But as time's gone on, he still practices the deen very well, but he's doing something quite seriously wrong, but not directly to the fellow brother.
Right.
He's doing something quite seriously wrong in another aspect of his life.
Okay.
But still at the same time, he's practicing very well. And as you said, about keeping friendship with the right kind of people.
Yes.
Would you still keep friendship with such a brother in that respect then, who is doing something wrong in another aspect of his life, but still practices the religion well?
Mm-hmm.
Would you keep friendship with him, or would you rather disconnect that friendship only to a point where you're not keeping close with him, but if you see him, you give salam to him?
Yes, that is one situation which you have mentioned lastly, that keeping not so close to him. But yes, a close friendship can be kept when you are keeping the friendship not with the incentive of something which you are going to benefit towards a certain, but with this incentive that if I keep this friendship, this person is overall 90% correct, and there is a 10% deficiency or some kind of shortcoming, and you keep close friends, socialize and friendship with him with the intention of warning him or enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. For that reason, it will be lawful. But in that, the extreme thing which a person should not do is that when that person commits that type of act or is willing, that then that person must not accompany the other person, or somehow should not sanction it and show his severe displeasure. But yes, he can always, as I gave you the example of Nabis and Prophets and Anbiya, that they came near the creation. People left aside sinful, they were committing kufr, but they still came to people. But they did not come near people to make friend and benefit and socialize with them, etc., but to benefit them. So even if you go to non-Muslim people who are committing anything wrong, sinful, etc., but your intention is not something else, but truly, actually, give sincere advice and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then but if you feel you yourself are in danger in getting in that situation or committing anything, then a person should avoid that company. So answer to your question is yes, one should actually buy it.
Even though that what he does, he's doing wrong, and it's continuously.
Yeah.
He's continuously doing it.
Even though it is, because we are instructed to hate the sin, not the sinner. So his hatred should not come in your heart in any case, no matter most of the things he does is wrong. Still, you should not hate the person personally. It is the sins, you should always see defects separately and see him separately. So some of the Buzurg, they give example like a mother whose baby soils the nappy or with, she at the same time she still loves and likes the baby, but at the same time she also does not like the soil or the urine or the stool. She wants to clean the baby. So she goes near the baby is looking towards the mother, but the mother keeps the two things in mind. The love of the baby is there personally, and the hate or the dislikeness or the filthiness of the urine or the stool is there. So she goes and she cleans. So that's how a person should act regarding other brothers and that a person like Mother Illumine actually, that you want to cleanse the other person. So differentiate that one is the true baby, a true person, and the other is the filth which is temporarily is coming upon because of his not knowing or his. So the company would be kept and hatred would be directed towards the evil trait or the action or the sin, and not the person. You remember last time I told you a story about a person who went to visit someone, a teacher, and he said that you do not have, he had kept a person in front of his door that if anyone does not have beard, do not let them let them enter. I don't want to see them. So this person came and he said, you cannot see our chair or whatever, because he... He said, yes, give him my salam and ask him that do you hate the sin or the sinner? If you hate the sin, then goodbye, I will be back. If the sin, then you should not treat me. And if you do not hate the sin but me, then I don't want to see him as well. So a person should always differentiate between these matters. And many people don't. When they see someone or know someone has done something wrong, their hatred penetrates towards the person. The sin is maybe secondary. They say, oh, this evil person. And whenever this person comes, and they the hatred of person. Now this itself actually draws oneself further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not allowed to hate personally. The Muslim have animosity. We cannot be these actions, these sins.
Even though that problem may be, isn't it quite disgraceful?
Any sin will be considered sin. Because it will still remain the sin. What I mean is that can he repent from that if he wants? Can he repent from that?
It's a particular situation that I mean, that's what I'm
asking. Yes. So if he can if he can repent, then it means that yes, you should not hate. Mm-hmm. If it's something is permanent, like kufr is permanent in most people, they don't want to repent from it. No. So like Pharaoh, other people, a person is when they're adamant on their kufr because it permanently sits there. So, while this, if something is not, even the kufr, if the person does embrace Islam, accept Islam, he is in a sense temporal to the extent that a person repents. So that's why the Anbiya and the Prophets, above all sin is the shirk, and they come near them, close to them, and call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean them from the major sins and minor sins and other matters. So when I was saying about this covenant promise, this is to consider all Muslims better than yourself, no matter if that person or other sinners. That is it. So, but we explained this in last time, so inshallah if you want to listen, that how can it be possible when you are seeing that person is doing so grave mistake and such a serious act, how can I actually compare myself to that person? Yeah.
Pretty much the same subject, really. If someone's committing a sin which might affect his iman, such as he's been made effort on by a group of people,
yes,
which have a slightly different understanding of Islam and that sort of thing, and you warn him about the consequences of this, and he blocks it. He says yes, but he's not listening. He's not taking it. It's not going to his heart at all. He says
right.
Yes. And, what's the situation then? Should you break the association with him, or should you?
Yes. What I said from the right beginning, the relationship, that positive love relationship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be kept with the pious and righteous. With sinner people, no matter they are doing slight sin or major sin, the relationship is kept only for their betterment and to call them back, not to personally become a friend with them and socialize with them, in a sense. But if you have the right intention, like you say, you explain to him, then obviously it will be the correct. So the intention will make, but if you are his, let's enjoy for the time being and we'll see what he does after. Then, that is, you have really left the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given your nafs preference. And so in that sense, very close, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تتخذ اليهود والنصارى, that do not hold this serious and close friendship with people, the Christian and Jews. But normally Muslim Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam protected in Medina the Jews and Christians, they had pacts. But one is near close, and that place should be only given to the friends of Allah, the righteous, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for other, there is you are well wisher and welfare, and there is a place in the heart in that domain for other people as well, other non-Muslims as well, for their betterment, that you have this desire that if they change, that you want them to benefit. So for that instant you can. Because the Mashaykh says that if one person is standing here and the other person is standing a few meters apart, and the other person is going away from him, meaning wrong direction, like sinful activities, and the other person says, no, I do not want to go with him or towards him because he's going in the wrong direction, and yes, he's right, because the other person is going in the wrong direction anyway. But if you want to call that person to the right direction, and if he's going further away, well, let's say 1 mile, 2 miles, then you will have to go to inform him. So there's two persons, there's one person going further away 1 mile on the wrong direction. And there are two persons. One is saying, I wish I was with him because the type of things he is doing, they are mouth watering, I want to do. And he also goes towards that direction. And the other is feeling sad. Look how agonistic and painful end is going to be, and how seriously they are. And he also travels towards that direction to call him back. So there is a difference of heaven and earth in both of them. Although they will be both going there, they are reaching company. Because if you do not go behind that person, he will never listen. He cannot, if you shout, he will not even hear your voice. Meaning is that if you are socially sometime apart from him, he does not speak with you, your personal problems, etc. He will not accept your opinion, your advice, or on that level, or give you that level where you can advise him. So that's why, that is the hikmah and wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the anbiya from human beings. Otherwise the angels could have come, or the jinnat could have become. But because there is a certain likeness of with the prophets and anbiya and rusul are human beings, so the human being is impressed and feels there is no personality clash type of thing. The angel is angel and he feels alien to his feeling, etc. So for that reason, when the Nabi comes as a human being, people are attracted towards him. And for others, if that was an angel, they would have not become. They would have listened, but when they come home, they say, he is an angel, he does not feel hungry. I have to go and earn livelihood. I can't do whatever he says, because he does not feel. But now when Prophet ﷺ and one of the wars, and the companions were there, and they complained, they were so much severe hunger at that time, and so many days has passed, that they were wearing big stones on their stomach just to keep their back straight. It was so difficult that by force, involitionally, the back will come down with hunger, and such a weakness was on. And they had a certain stone, so that at least actually the body stays upright. And they complain to Prophet, it was right, because actually, who will they tell if the not Prophet of this severity of situation? So imagine what type of mujahidas that they have done. For us, paradise is easy in the sense that we just have to sacrifice little bit of time, little bit of sleep, and twist things around little bit. The same things which we do it another way, and then alhamdulillah, with a little bit of effort, we can enter paradise. But these people, you cannot imagine. And then they said this to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his kameez off, and they saw that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had tied three stones similar to them. That his hunger and his was more severe. Three stones he had. He was suffering more even than him. But because maybe if someone had, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fed them, give them, and he himself would not eat completely. So then obviously they're motivated that if our Prophet and our Rasul is suffering so much, and we should be brave, and we should, it's become easier. And if there was an angel, and it was said to them, the angel, I don't know what hunger is, then, but I only know that what you should do, I have certain instruction, you should follow them. And then people will say, no, it's out of, we cannot do it, we will lost the ground. So there is hikmat, wisdom to sending ambiyal and inhuman being, and then to accompany the people, evil people, or to go towards them and contact with them with this intention is always desirable. And really, there will be, if they understand, there will be underlying love for them as well, because you want them to benefit. So if a Muslim wants a Christian person to become a Muslim, really what he wants is actually to him to enjoy and get best of what he has. And if a Christian person wants a Muslim person to become a Christian, he also wants the same thing. He thinks the salvation is in Christianity. So underlying, he may have the true love as well, and you are he is your well-wisher as well. So there are two well-wishers, and now the question is, who can with love explain to each other or convince each other? By force, it cannot be done. So their love is there in the Christian as well and in the Muslim as well. So they both like each other. They want each other to enjoy the best of what they have. But it's only the difference in where the truth is, really. So that can only be decided by how it's explained and how the person is dealt with, and with love and compassion. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Pharaoh that you're going to Pharaoh, but to Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you go to Pharaoh, speak gently with him, because he might take a lesson. So, ye hota hai. Sometimes there are situation where harshness is also required. Well, this is generally I'm talking about. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Abhi shaki azan de dein. Shaki namaz.